all you otaku out there. Today on Otaku Movie Anatomy, we are going to talk about Jessica Alba, fanfiction gone wrong, and Tia Booze.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Otaku Movie Anatomy.
It's a nice song.
It is a nice song.
It's very nice.
It's very nice.
It's kind of calming.
It's egoist. Or egoist, I guess.
Egoist, it depends. Yeah.
Egoist?
Yeah.
Is this about
that's
a
real,
waffles?
Not like the ego waffles. welcome to, thanks for watching Otaku Movie Anatomy. Please subscribe, rate, and comment on iTunes. Hit that thumbs up on YouTube and at the Popcorn Talk. Follow on the Twitters, and that was a messed up sentence. But that's fine, because you probably understood me. And today, we're going to talk about Empire of Corpses.
Yes.
We have so many things to say. We're so excited.
Yeah, we're very excited.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
We missed you last week, and we thought, you know, like, we really want to do this movie justice, because there's just so many...
We really want to bring it back with tons of energy.
Yeah, we just had so much to talk about. We're so excited. I'm your host, Maxwell Song, and with us today we have Yume Ninja.
Yep.
As you know, our usual, and we have a special guest, Wes.
Hi,
Wes,
guys.
The editor from Smosh Games, good friend of mine. We work together, and also he is a cosplay extraordinaire.
Well, thank you. That means a lot, actually.
I believe. That is exactly how you should describe yourself.
Cosplay extraordinaire.
I am Wes, the cosplay extraordinaire.
Yes, that is a strange accent for Link,
It's fine. You know what? That's how Link talks from now on.
Yeah, that's why.
When he talks,
I'll accept that.
Yeah. I like that.
I'll accept it.
Okay, so should we move on to this movie? Before, I just want to mention, yes, I am wearing a top hat.
It is so fancy.
That is the level of fancy we are tonight.
It's very fancy.
And I never get to wear this hat, but I wore this hat especially for this movie. Do you know why? Because this movie is, in one word, a clusterfuck.
Oh my god. It's so all over the place.
Yes.
What can I even say about this? Where should we even start? There's so many things I want to touch up on.
Let's just start with the synopsis.
All right. So, this movie... is a part of a 3-movie series called Project Ito. Project Ito, he's actually Satoshi Ito, the science fiction writer. And so they're making these 3 movies, Genocidal Organ, which I'm sure you've seen around, and another movie called Harmony, and this is supposed to be a bit of the trifecta. And if you couldn't tell, Empire of Corpses is about corpses.
Lots of them.
Big
Lots
surprise.
Of them.
An empire
of
actually.
Quite a bit, you know? It makes a lot of corpses to make an empire. So, basically, it's a horror fantasy. It's set in the 19th century, I believe. 19th century Europe, and not really just Europe, basically all around the world.
Yeah.
Where do I begin? Okay, first of all, this movie starts off with John Watson. From Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
And he lives in a world where all of these corpses are made into these servants, and they're like programmable, and they're basically corpse computers is the only way that's pretty much what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so they have these little machines that are like these, you feed in Braille and it basically creates programs for these zombies to follow. And of course, John Watson, because he deserves to be in the same world as Frankenstein, is just this kind of like rogue medical guy that just loves corpses so much and just does all these things. And then you see him with a corpse and he's reviving it, and it seems like there's this personal relationship because it is called Friday and he loves it so much, and that is a running theme in this whole movie. He just loves this
Friday
so much. Loves Friday so much. And so the story goes on to like kind of move on to
you can't really explain this movie very well, because first off, John Watson.
Yes.
John Watson.
No Sherlock Holmes at all.
At all.
The whole movie.
At the end. At the end, Sherlock Holmes appears. For like a second.
Okay, so at the end of the movie, the character that you've come to know and love, like, everyone likes John Watson, but it's about Sherlock Holmes. So somebody was like, you know what? I really like John Watson. I'm going to make an entire movie about him. Pretty much how I feel about this movie is it's like somebody took 8 different fan fictions and just went
combined
smashed
them.
It together. Smashed it together.
Because they don't really differentiate. It's like, yes, John Watson exists, and so does Mycroft Holmes, but so does Ulysses S. Grant.
Yeah, what is Ulysses S. Grant doing there? Thomas Edison's also there, yeah. too. So it's like these mishmash of like people that kind of lived in the same time, that some are fictional, some are not fictional. But I believe this was sort of this movie made for tea booze, because clearly Mr. Ito is a huge tea boo.
Yeah, he is a tea boo.
Yeah,
which I just found out that term today, yeah. and yes. I was very happy with it.
People might be more familiar with the term Anglophile, of which I am.
Anglophile. Tea
boo is another form of that.
Or Sherlock Holmes fan fiction enthusiasts.
Yes. Oh,
so I mean,
but
anyway, yeah. So the story continues. Watson is recruited by M, who is this mysterious figure that's working for the British government, and Watson is now tasked to find the first note. The first being the first Frankenstein monster that Frankenstein has ever created.
Yeah, so pretty much they have to find the work of Frankenstein, his book on how he brought the original monster back to life and gave him a soul and memories.
Yeah.
Yeah, they even have a weight of a soul. It's like, it's 21 grams. It's 21 grams. It's like, when a person dies, 21 grams leaves their body, and that's the weight of the soul. So they put that much in punch cards inside of your body. It's like 21 ounces,
21 ounces of
punch cards in your, into your body, and they're just like, oh, yeah, that's about right for the soul.
Yeah, the science is sound.
Yeah, it's perfectly sound.
Can we talk about, like, the weird science? Like, the things that stick out of them? I was like, are those Bluetooth headphones?
Yeah, like, I don't really know what those are either, because in the beginning, they don't really, like, introduce it.
No.
So it's like, you know, in Nintendo 64s, you get that little expansion pack, and it's supposed to, like, make the memory a little bit better, and then you could play like Donkey Kong 64 or something.
Yeah.
Like, that's basically what those little Bluetooth things were on top of, like, the initial, like, I guess, stabbing of the neck. I mean, it's like the Matrix, you know, like in the scene in the Matrix where you get the little spike in the head in the back, and you're like, oh, I'm in the Matrix, except this is like, oh, now you're kind of a moving corpse. So,
yeah
there's a lot of this very high fantasy, almost steampunk, almost like magic, almost magical. Like there's a, it kind of like.
There's like random elements. Like it's a lot of steampunk.
Yeah.
Just because it's set in a Victorian era, and then it's got like the weird programming, which is very cyberpunk. So it's not sure what it wants to be.
Yeah, but it's sort of like this idea before, where technology and magic were kind of the same things, you know? Like, you didn't... It's that idea of if you showed people technology back in the day, they'll think it's magic.
Right.
But if you saw magic now, we would think it's technology.
I mean, I don't know. Toward the end of that movie, it crossed the line into... it went way past possible technology and just was like, you know what? Screw it.
Yeah,
magic.
Yeah,
just magic.
Magic.
Just,
it's all magic,
spiritual,
guys.
Spiritual stuff.
I mean, there's a girl who comes out of nowhere riding a horse with a flamethrower.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And
that's how she's introduced,
by the way. No explanation. Yeah. Like, you see her on a dock at one point, an explosion goes off, and you see her hat flying. You're like, oh, that's sad. She'll probably come back eventually, somehow. And of course, she comes back riding a horse with a flamethrower.
And then the second time, they're like, oh, that's cool. See ya, horse lady. And then he comes back in like a Hummer. Like in a carriage Hummer. And then like a machine gun comes out and she just guns down a bunch of fucking people. You know, it is like so insane.
And like, I'm one of those super nitpicky people where it's just like, she came, like, when she rides in with that carriage, I'm like, your axles would not be able to handle that. That's a fucking wooden carriage.
You can't drift on that shit.
Yeah. And I was like, this is super unbelievable.
Made of wood.
Your horse knows how to drift. It's the
great. It's so great.
Oh, my God.
Okay, and so Watson meets up with a bunch of different characters in which they're trying to help them, help him get the notes. One of them is Frederick Barnaby, and he is a real-life Victorian-era adventurer. Or I think he is. Yeah, I'm pretty sure
he was
real.
a British Army intelligence officer.
Yes.
Yeah, and then he's joined by Sego Yamazawa, who is a samurai, and Nikolai Krasatinkin. Sorry, I just they're really hard names to pronounce.
Krasatinkin?
Krasatinkin. And so basically, they find the book. But the problem with the book is everyone wants it to be destroyed. Because they're like, only bad things can come of this book.
Right.
Because I forget, and that's the whole thing. And that's when it starts getting shaky. Because they don't, they never really fully explain what the book does. I think it's too, what Watson wants from Friday is that he wants to, basically he dies of a disease. And so he wants to bring back his soul. Mm-hmm. So the idea is, does the soul leave? Or is the body where the soul is, and I'm just unlocking the soul from the dead body?
Yeah.
And so that's what Watson is trying to find. And he believes that the notes are going to be the thing that brings Friday back, basically. Obviously, I guess it kind of does.
Yeah. Well, pretty much he screws up in royal fashion.
Yeah.
All of his friends are like fighting and dying, fighting these like crazy monsters. And he's just like, I need to download this into my friend's brain. And it's just like, wait, how does that work?
It's like a book.
Yeah, it's a book that you can download and stuff. And it's just like, okay, what made this magical USB drive work?
They
didn't really decide, like, the whole, like, steampunk versus cyberpunk. They didn't decide what world they wanted to exist in. They're like, let's just, you know, shake them up in a hat, and it'll come out fine. And it was very, like, how did you get from this very, like, Victorian steam era technology to make it, like, force fit into something much more technological? Right. It's like, that doesn't make any sense. And you didn't build up the world to make it believable.
Yeah, I think they had this... We'll talk about this later in more depth, but they didn't have enough time to really explain this world. Mm-hmm. And because these are actually based on novels, I bet you anything that the novels probably elaborate in this world a hell of a lot more in detail than in, you know, the 2-hour movie can allot.
They couldn't do this in 2 hours, by the way.
Yeah, it was it was a long...
It's a long movie.
Long movie.
But eventually Watson finds the book, and even though... his friend Nikolai, that he was traveling with all this time, gets basically killed by his, like, brother and turned into, like, this kind of mindless zombie. And then he ends up doing it to himself, which is a very big dramatic scene. And they just kind of live in this weird, like, zombie harmony, or, like, we're zombie families. And they still do the things they're kind of doing, but in, like, more of a zombie fashion. And the book apparently is, like, a thing that... can allow that to happen, but in a viral way. So, it's basically like the book allows the corpses to be controlled, and through that control, there's this thing that bites them. They make a virus, basically, and the virus makes it so it transfers that mind control over to normal people that have been bitten by these zombies.
Like, what?
That explanation was just as confusing as the movie.
Oh my god!
That is literally the easiest and simplest way that I could explain it. And this is after like many hours of thought. Of me processing this movie and being like, what the fuck did I just watch?
Oh, I had to watch this movie twice, and it didn't make sense either time. I think other than all of like the references to English and some French like literary people, I was like, this movie makes no sense.
Oh no, they definitely just they had a hat of names, and they I feel like they had to piece together their story. It was like a game that they played. It was just like, okay, John Watson. Okay, we're making him the main character. All right, Ulysses S. Grant.
Throw him in there.
We got this.
We need an American.
They just kept picking out names.
It's like in South Park, you know those like manatees that just push the balls over to one side.
The Family Guy episodes. Yeah.
So basically, that is exactly what they kind of did with this movie. I guess I won't go into super detail, but they find Hadley and. Watson finds the book, and he's like, oh, well, I majorly fucked up because I didn't destroy the book. And then everyone in the town of... everyone in Britain gets infected by these zombies and become mindless zombies. And the whole thing is they're just like, we want to make a society of mindless zombie people because...
You've destroyed everything.
This was going to happen.
This is
totally going to happen.
That's exactly what the show would be then. It would just be like headphones hanging off.
Yeah. And I knew when I wore this hat that this was going to happen.
This is going to be an issue.
Yeah, but it's fine. So anyway, sorry about
that. It doesn't get any less silly no matter who
it
does.
Pretty much.
It actually looks better on Wes. I mean, because it also makes him like 300 feet taller.
Yeah.
You can have your head back, man.
But anyway, it's everyone turns into zombies at the end, and then they figure it out, and it's, oh man.
And it's like very, the ending makes no sense either.
No.
And I was like, wait, does he come back? Does he die? Or like, is he in love with Friday? Or like, what's going on?
He downloads it into his brain. So the way that he seals the book is by like absorbing it into his mind, hence making him forget about it, which also makes no sense.
Yeah, there's no real way to explain this movie at all.
You kind of have to just watch. I mean, it's if you watch it, I feel like you'll still get it. And I don't even want to say don't watch the movie because this movie is gorgeous. It was like some of the nicest animation that I've ever seen a movie have lately.
Yeah.
So it's just I feel like there's the adventure part is there, the characters are there, the action is there. Mm-hmm. I think the writing is relatively decent for the
half
most
half of the movie.
Well, yeah. I meant the dialogue is for the most part decent. But the story just kind of like they just had too many things they wanted to say, and they just did not have enough time to say it, which is ridiculous because
it was 2 hours long.
It's 2 hours long.
No, and that was kind of the thing when I was watching it. I was like, is there like 8 seasons of an anime that I missed before watching this movie? I just felt like I jumped in the last possible episode of a show and was just like, oh, here's all the stuff now.
You mean the Psychopass movie?
hey, I watched the whole series. I knew exactly what was going on.
Yeah, I was pretty on par with that.
I mean, I watched the entire series of that movie. I was like, if you didn't watch this movie, you would have no idea what's going on.
Oh, absolutely not. It's, I guess, like, what can we say besides that it looks great?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
And it's also that it's very dark. Yeah. Like, that movie, in terms of tone, is very dedicated for it to be, like, really depressing. They really do not care if you are happy or anything.
No, they prefer you being sad.
Yeah, so let's talk about art. Since that is always what I talk about. Like we were talking about, the animation is amazing. It's by Wit, who is part of Production IG. I think they got... So you probably know them from what? Like, Attack on Titan is done by Wit.
Right.
So the entire movie is really beautifully animated. They do have some CG in there, which is integrated, and I didn't really mind it. So
I thought it was great. I mean, CG it was pretty flawless.
It was really, really pretty. Like, it had, at no point, like, if you just pause it randomly, it didn't have any, like, shitty scribbly drawings that some anime had, you know?
Yeah. But, no wandering eyes. Yeah, no wandering no Naruto eyes.
Thank God.
But, yeah, like, there was a very, very dark palette, except for, like, when they're kind of crossing, like, there was, like, that montage of them going to, like, the Himalayas or what looked like the Himalayas and then, like, some town in, like, Western China.
Yeah.
But all of those colors were really bright. Usually I can tell what the purpose of those colors are, you know? That, I didn't really get it. Like I got that, like, England was very dark and all industrial and the movie tone itself is gray and dark.
They used a lot of blues.
Yes.
At any time. They had blue. It felt like this is the color of the soul.
Yeah.
You know? And then once green kind of was introduced, because they introduced green, like, totally all the time at the end.
Yeah.
That basically kind of, like, got a little... I think that was really more of, like, this is science. Blue is science, and then green is, like, the kind of ephemeral spirit world.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, the weirdness is, during this era, the spirit world was very highly researched and beloved, you know. This was like the age of the occult, and so I think for its all of its intents and purposes, it's trying to like kind of capture that in a steampunk or cyberpunk kind of way, which I think is awesome, obviously. But I mean, I wish they kind of dealt with one or the other.
Right. Yeah, personally. I think it's one of those things, like, even in the art, like, as beautiful as it was kind of like the story where they couldn't decide what direction to go in. And, like, because I'm always nitpicky about it, like, it's great art. It needed a better creative director. And real quick, Ken, who's on chat with us, asked if we were agreeing on this. I think we're all agreeing. This is a very confusing movie.
Oh, God. Confusing. I've seen confusing movies before. I feel like this is just like pieces of stuff. I felt like I watched 2 hours of trailers of different movies.
Oh, that's a great way to put it. Yeah. Oh my God.
And they're great. Those are great trailers.
Yeah.
Man, but like those, it does not make like a coherent anything. Like there's no, the thing is, it's like they tried to put in Frankenstein's monster as him being a man. And then they tried to make Aunt Mycroft be the bad guy. And then, but all Frankenstein's monster wanted was to have his bride back. And then he decides to use Thomas Edison's robot daughter slash wife that he just didn't want as a wife anymore to become the bride of Frankenstein. So now you're having these four different stories, like kind Watson's like story. Yeah, you see like Halliday's story, which is about her being a robot Hadali. Trying to have a, have a soul, which why? And then, you know, you have Sherlock Holmes just kind of thrown in there because we have to have Sherlock Holmes. But we have Mycroft Holmes as the main bad guy, but he's the brother of Sherlock Holmes. So once they all come together and like, this is a Sherlock Holmes story, then Mycroft is already dead. So literally a whole chunk of that, of the story of Sherlock Holmes, is already retconned. Like, we don't care. Yeah. No one cared about Mycroft.
And it's like, I've seen, like, they've had anime before where they kind of took, like, literary or historical figures and put them in. And it's worked. I think in this, like, they really just were like, oh, I want this guy in this anime. So I'm just going to put him in.
Yeah, all of these characters, the majority of them anyway, could have been substituted for anybody, other name. It doesn't, like, they have no purpose.
If Abraham Lincoln showed up with, like, Mary Curie and like Tupac, I'd be like, yeah, sure, I get that.
Exactly. Why not?
That would probably make more sense than half of the stuff.
This has no other relevance to them besides that. There's other anime that's like this. The one is Nobunaga, which I don't know if anyone has seen it, but basically it's like real people. So like Thomas Edison, and they get Thomas Edison powers, and they and like
hold up. What are Thomas Edison powers?
Thomas Edison powers is like electricity powers, or like so this idea, this trope of having these real people become like these
like fantastical,
magical powers, or like having exaggerated, like you know how like Nikola Tesla in The Prestige was amazing, and David Bowie,
and was David Bowie.
Also he was like, do you really think that Nikola Tesla has a garden of bulbs? Wait, no, he does have a gold garden of bulbs, doesn't he? Wait, maybe that's a real thing. But anyway, it's super exaggerated. But the fact is, they super exaggerate, like, what is their one thing? Like, Isaac Newton, his powers, always gravity, always with apples. Because that's the thing that you know.
Yeah.
So it's like this Japanese love to use this as this trope.
Yeah.
Whenever they possibly can. And this movie does exactly that. And that is the problem.
But it does it poorly.
Yeah, I was half expecting, Dracula to pop out of nowhere.
Because Dracula could. Werewolves could. Yeah. It's a movie about zombies.
Yeah. It's a movie about zombies where the design of the technology was created by Victor Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, you find out that Victor Frankenstein's brain is in a jar somehow controlling this giant machine. And I'm just like, what is going on?
I forget. The giant machines with the brains are towers that control the zombies, like the programming basically.
Right.
So it makes them not flip out, and it makes them move basically from these control towers. One of them is called Paul Bunyan. So
what? I missed that.
Yeah. It was Paul Bunyan. That was the one in America.
What's the other one?
Oh, I don't remember.
It's a British one.
It was something Claggart or something.
I forget what that.
Yeah,
they all have like. In case you didn't have enough literary stuff, they're like,
yeah.
Well, let's throw some Paul Bunyan in there. Like, it's...
Yeah, it's just... It's tragic because it could have been so much better. Especially because it looks so good.
This is the shit that I like in anime.
Yeah.
I love it when they do stuff like this. When they, like, exaggerate real people. I would have loved to see Thomas Edison, which he kind of does. But I would like to see some Thomas Edison battle armor that he created or something.
Yeah.
Or, like, I mean, the Nautilus comes out. And let's talk about the Nautilus.
Oh, God.
So they introduce the Nautilus, another literary kind of thing. out of nowhere, because Thomas Edison just happens to have the Nautilus.
Well, pretty much they were like, okay, so we've got to get them from the United States to Europe, to Britain, in like 4 hours. How do we do that? Okay, let me think. Nautilus, let's do it. The submarine, it goes really, really fast.
That's a thing.
Got it.
Remember how like we said that, we saw that in a book? Let's put that in there.
I feel like they watched The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, yes. And then we're just like, how do we make this into an anime-type deal?
But only British people.
Yeah, only British people.
Only British people, except for that one guy that's an adventurer and that Japanese samurai.
Yes.
Who is a real Japanese samurai that fought in Europe, which is crazy to me because no one has heard of him. So it's like, why didn't you just pick some other samurai?
Can
like,
make up a samurai.
Can we talk about, like, the fucking eyebrows on that guy?
Oh, yeah.
That guy had some major eyebrows.
His eyebrows are like half of his face.
They were half of his face, and they looked like they were some sort of samurai armor that they just pasted like on his forehead.
It's the best part is this is like how Japanese people are like representing their own Japanese people, which is blowing my mind a little bit because like everyone, all the Europeans in this movie are beautiful. They're like every single one of them is gorgeous except for the peasants.
Yes.
Which right? are all, yeah.
They all turn zombies. Into zombies. So it's like, whatever. We don't care. They need to be ugly anyway. Yeah.
Oh my God. Can you imagine this in like modern day? So it's like everyone working at McDonald's is a zombie and stuff. Man. It's like, oh.
See, I think that idea of it is amazing. It's like, if we had a chance to use corpses in that way, we would. Like, that is in a weird way, like, sure, it's sacrilege, but, like, if it contributed to our economy, I feel like, in a weird way, we would be able
but
to just,
thing.
Like, ignore
it. It wouldn't contribute to our economy. It would actually destroy the economy, because how are you supposed to find a job?
Yeah.
Right. I like, mean, but that's...
When you can just get free dead labor.
But that's menial labor, right? Like, I'm sure if there was a way to exploit that in some way, maybe we would. Which is, you know, I'm sure that has been experimented with to use these corpses as...
See, it kind of makes sense from, like, the war
the
aspect.
Because
it's like, okay, I don't need to train and spend a bunch of money training these soldiers. It's like, I can just send literal zombies out there who are shooting guns, by the
way.
They're like, shooting guns.
What about the Wolverine one?
Each other. Oh, yeah. The assassins.
The Wolverine zombie.
Yeah, there's a ton of Wolverine zombies, and they come out and attack, and it's like, oh, these guys are fast. That's real weird. But they're not actually really concerned about it. He's like, after they're done, they're just like, can I take this one back as a trophy, please? Because I kind of want to, like, play with his mind a little more. And it's just...
It was weird.
Yeah. My initial
but
thought...
he was one of the lobotomized ones, too. And
right.
so then Watson was like, I don't feel too good about this. It's like, what the hell are you talking about? Did you not do all those things before?
Yeah, it was
like you've been desecrating corpses like all day, every day.
Yeah.
Like, why
but
are you feeling bad about
feels
it now?
Bad. Yeah, like a lot of the motivations didn't make any sense behind any of them.
Well, the only one that I thought made sense was like, and I thought this was actually pretty good, is John Watson and Friday, because John Watson basically does not. Like, he's a selfish asshole in this.
Right.
He just wants to get Friday back, you know? And I can... And even beyond, like, messing everything up, he still wants that. And I think that's pretty awesome. Until that moment when they're like, I made a mistake.
Yes.
Like, so... Like, just finish your shit.
It's like, you didn't realize that before everyone in, like, England died? Like, everyone died.
Everyone died
so many people.
Yeah, but... It's okay, because they magically became alive again.
So, Jessica 12 in chat said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confusing is this?
I would have to say, from 1 to 10, infinity confusing.
Yeah, it's... Okay, so the first half of the movie, I would give, like, an 8.
Yes.
Like, on a confusing scale. It made
I would
me feel
even
like,
a 5. I felt like...
Yeah, I feel like it's a 5.
I see where you're getting at,
well,
what you're getting
I see what they were going for, and it could have been really, really cool had they not gone the crazy magical powers nonsense route. Like, that kind of world was very, very cool. I liked how the corpses were there, and then they started using them with explosives and all this sort of stuff. I thought the world was very cool, but the second they got into that cave, and those guys, like, killed themselves, I was just like... All right, you've turned yourself into mindless zombies. How does this help anybody? And then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, Frankenstein's monster is a thing. M is trying to destroy the world. There are like 9 different bad guys. And by the way, hilarious. Frankenstein's monster is this like old guy who looks normal, who can talk and all this sort of stuff. In the final battle between Barnaby, there's an actual Frankenstein's monster.
He's got like the sewed up face.
Yeah, like the stereotypical like normal movie one.
With the stitches on the head and everything. He's like kind of green a little bit too.
Giant, he smashes the ground and just destroys everything. It's like, oh, zombies have super strength now. This is cool. But it was like the actual Frankenstein's monster with no explanation at all.
I feel like they just...
I'm here now.
I think they just put that in there just like as an Easter egg.
Like a nod to... actual
the only problem I had also was like when they introduced M as the main bad guy too, and then there was the first Frankenstein monster or the first or the one, they're like basically the same looking dudes. They're just two old white dudes.
One had an eye patch though, so
I don't even remember. All I remember is that they both have big white beards and they have big white hair, and that's all I remember about those two, and I always kept like confusing them. So once they introduced them together in the same room, I'm like, who's talking? Like, what is going
on? That was kind of like Friday and then the other kid. When I was watching it, I was like, wait, are there two of them now? Like,
right,
I was like, are there two little kids? And like, in general, the character, like, was design was like, it looked like a really like bad J-rock band.
Yeah.
You know, like, when you look at them together, it's just like, there's Watson, there's like these two kids who kind of look like CL from Black Butler, this chick with really big boobs and this older guy, but they all kind of have weird outfits, and I was like, yeah, it totally looks like a weird reject like J-rock band.
I feel like this is like when like Asian people dress up as like British or Victorian, like that's what this
that's
looks
what
like
they
to me. Because like the idea is like they all have bangs like the front of their face, and they're always like exiguously have long hair that's like gorgeous and shit. Like that's not how it was.
There's like no historical representation here.
Everyone had beards and shit. Like
Dolly's got like the boob window.
Yeah, it just. You know, I get what they're going for, and it's very clearly that they're hyper romanticizing this, which is fine, you know, because it's anime,
right?
And we all love it. And my only question is, why did it become Bride of Frankenstein? Like, if it wasn't Bride of Frankenstein, I think I would have been way more okay with this than you know, like I initially ended up being, because like the whole Bride of Frankenstein thing. Like, if it was, the Frankenstein monster was just like, I want to free all of the dead slaves. I want them to give them death or something, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't exploit the dead anymore. That, to me, makes a hell of a lot more sense than him just being like, I've had this book forever.
Yeah.
But now I've decided it's time for me to, like, revive my bride because there's a robot girl. Like, that part makes this whole story so pointlessly inane.
So, like, in the same vein, Jackie L. asks, how would we have finished it if we had the opportunity to rewrite this?
Hi, Mom.
Hello.
Hilarious. How would we have finished this ourselves? That's really funny.
No, go ahead.
I mean, that's it's
true. It's your mom's question.
Yeah,
you
know, that's
she
really
wants to hear what you think.
I like looked down at that picture and I was like, I recognize that person. I don't know. I would like halfway through the movie, I would have like completely scrapped the second half of the movie.
Yes.
Completely. And I feel like it could have even been a great like series, like an actual anime series just set in that world. And their main quest is to find almost like Full Metal Alchemist almost.
Yeah.
How they're
yeah.
trying to find the Sorcerer's Stone to fix all of their stuff.
Yeah.
Which actually, now that I think about that, it's like tying souls into dead bodies, and
it's kind of the same.
It's a lot of the
plus kind
of
idea.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like get rid of all of the magic essence of it. Like obviously there's some magic because they're bringing people back to life, but the technology aspect of it, I found very interesting. So ending it, I feel like they would find the journal of Victor Frankenstein, and it would pretty much almost be like a Full Metal Alchemist thing. It was like to make or to return a soul to the body, it's like you have to sacrifice living people
or
something along those lines. It's just
some
like
terrible dark
secret. This is the reason why everyone wanted to destroy the book.
Yeah.
Not because, oh, Frankenstein's original monster is going to turn everyone into zombies so that there are no more wars.
Yeah.
Well,
first of all, that logic is completely flawed.
Oh, right.
Because it's also not the Frankenstein monster that wants that. It's M that wants
that.
Which is the leader of these human people, like, want them to all become zombies, which totally makes literally no sense.
Nope. None
like, why would you want that? That is flimsy. Him just being like, because there'd be no wars is like the flimsiest thing ever. And it's like, yeah. You're already using zombies for wars anyway. It's basically the same thing. Like, yeah. Nobody is technically getting hurt now. So that to me is also super a thing that I think made this movie totally flawed. I can even understand the Frankenstein monster being like, you know, I want to revive my bride. I can even get that.
Yeah, I can get that.
I
kind of
felt bad for him at that point. I was just like, oh, well, he's not really doing anything too terrible, I guess. He's just trying to revive his girlfriend.
He's just lonely.
He's lonely.
He's trying to revive his girlfriend in this robot body. And it's like, this person wanted a soul anyway, so they're kind of getting the boat
what
they want.
I think I'd have to agree with Wes with the ending. Like, I think if it had been more like Full Metal Alchemist, like, well, there's a big price to pay, and it's kind of sacrilege, or, like, the ethics is not behind it, it would make more sense, and it would have more, like, gravity to
I think the problem this movie also has is that it starts with this theme of, like, these people are our loved ones, and we are using them as machines. And then it sort of doesn't really continue that theme at all, and then it becomes kind of, like, these disconnected stories. Of the Bride of Frankenstein, of him trying to revive the soul of Friday, whatever. But that underlying theme of, like, these zombies are not necessarily just machines, they totally dismiss that. Like, if that was the idea, if it was like, hey, we want to, like, respect the dead, and we don't want zombies anymore, and the idea was like, hey, we still need zombies because it's our lifestyle now. Like, that, to me, is a way more cohesive thing.
Yeah.
Or, like, if Mycroft was trying to protect some horrible secret, like you guys are saying, of, like, how these things are made, like, what if they're not actually all dead? Like, that's, like, you know, they find out that the soul is still alive.
Yeah, like, stuck inside the body and being forced to do this sort of stuff. Like, that would have been very interesting, and I feel like...
what a miss!
Yeah, I feel like he would have, like, been like, oh my god, my friend's soul has been trapped in this body. I've been ordering him around the whole time. This is terrible.
Yeah.
And then they shut it all down, and then, like, that would be a better ending.
The whole thing is, even if Friday did live or didn't live, to me, totally doesn't matter. But I would have much rather his character would have had more impact if he didn't live.
Well, he's a white-haired anime boy.
Yeah, of course. Like, you can't kill them. They are a rare breed.
Well, but think about Nikolai.
Yeah, they sacrificed one already.
The second I saw him, I was like, oh, you're totally dead.
Oh, yeah, he's totally dead.
You're done, bro.
Because one too many.
Yeah, because you saw him
there
and you're like...
There can only be one.
Yeah, you look exactly like Friday, except that you have a part in the middle. You, sir, do not have the bang coverage as only the other one does. You are not important, but you are a sacrificial lamb.
He also didn't have the CL Phantom Hive outfit that Friday had, like the little shorts with the knee socks.
That's true.
Yeah. You can't kill a little Shota boy with little shorts. That is sacrilege against anime. That's just the way that it is. I guess, what was your favorite parts, though? Because it's still a beautiful movie, and there's, I think, parts that we all really, really enjoyed. Okay. But what was it?
I think, for me, the movie was just really hard to follow. The best part of it is honestly just the art. Because, like, a lot of that stuff didn't stick out to me, but the artwork did.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It was...
Damn, was it gorgeous.
It was very pretty. And that was one of the things when I started watching it. I was like, oh, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
Art style, they've obviously put a lot of effort and work.
I was so excited.
I'm like, okay, this is going to be great. Favorite part for me... I actually enjoyed when the Nautilus came out. I was like, oh, like, this is cool.
Pointless.
This doesn't make any sense, but the Nautilus is here. Yeah, and that, and I definitely, people were staring at me in the office while I was watching it, and when Frankenstein's monster, the movie version, popped out and started fighting, I'm just like, this is amazing.
Where have you been this whole movie? They even show it in the beginning, too. Like, there's kind of like a little trick that they put in, like, this was Frankenstein's first monster. And it's like, no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. This other guy. This is the first one. Yeah. This is just some, like, red herring. so that was awesome. I also just thought about this. Like, so if the Nautilus was owned by Captain Nemo, did Thomas Edison kill Captain Nemo and take his ship?
Oh, my God.
Maybe
Captain Nemo just didn't make the cut in the hat mixing pull out.
That's true. He didn't make the
cut. So sad.
But
the ship did.
Yeah, but the Nautilus got pulled out. Yeah. It was like, oh, man. what if I combine the Nautilus and Thomas Edison?
Like, to me, because, you know, like, there was, like, there has to be music or whatever to be the vibe. Yeah. Like, just bring in Mozart or Beethoven. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
that would have been amazing.
A really great, if we're talking about more historical movie peoples, have you ever seen Read or Die?
Mm. No.
It is basically exactly what we're talking about. And so what happens is, like, all of these literary figures are kind of, like, real in this. And so they become, like, these bad guys. So Beethoven is one of the bad guys. And so his whole thing is that he plays this music that will kill everyone on Earth.
What?
Kills everyone on Earth.
It kills everyone on Earth. Not
the people who are, like, can hear it, just everybody.
Just literally everyone. And so, like, the whole story is that these bibliophiles, like these people that read books and are obsessed with books, they're able to control paper. And so it's like all this crazy battle ensues. It's like a 4-episode of it. It's definitely worth checking out.
A little bit of that.
She wears glasses.
Yeah, and they were like in a library. She was like a librarian or something.
Yeah, yeah. And then she can like control. She can like make planes out of it. And she like throws the paper like shurikens and shit.
I was watching this. I think I turned on the TV. I was at a hotel or something. I turned it on. I was just like, what is going on? You're fighting with paper. I feel like one lighter and I win. Like, yeah. All I have to do is like, I got my Zippo, I win.
Well, they basically wet the paper and then you're like, oh no, my paper.
They're all stuck together.
So,
turn her into a giant paper mache doll.
So, final rating time?
Final rating. Well, I didn't say what my favorite part was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Go for it.
Well, the cinematics of it were just gorgeous. You know, like the part when they introduce all the computers, and especially when they're like feeding stuff into the machines too.
Yeah.
I thought they did that really well. Mm. But I thought the samurai fight was amazing. Of course I would. But not only that, this is the place that the first Frankenstein monster lives. And you know what this told me? That the first Frankenstein monster is a fucking weeaboo.
I didn't think about that.
Oh, he totally is.
Right? Because he has samurai guards, and he has, like, all these, like, little, like, Buddhist mantra dudes. And then, of course, the samurai man has to go into the samurai den of the first Frankenstein monster. It's like, if I was a Frankenstein monster and I had to set up an evil den, this sound gonna do it.
I feel like the three of us have had to piece together what this movie is actually about.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? I actually didn't think that was the first one's lair. I was pretty sure that wasn't the first one's
lair. No, that was the first. I believe that was the first one's lair.
Are you sure? I thought they were trying. I'm pretty sure they were trying to hide.
Or maybe they tried to hide the book.
I think
that was
one of the places, because they said that the first one was chasing after the book. And
because they were a little bit ahead.
Whose
lair was it?
It was just some random person.
Some random.
What? Like, it was like the Japanese government was just like, okay, we need to hide this book. Who do we get to protect it? Samurai. Zombie samurai.
You know what?
They have to be giant.
I understand that that's actually what happened in the movie, but I'm going to stick with my explanation. I might as well, right? All right, so a rating. What's your ratings? Like, rate out of 5.
Let's start with Wes.
Just for the confusion level alone, I'm going to give this like a 0.3 out of 5.
Point three is so low.
That's for the graph.
Oh,
that's
my
for
God.
The art alone. It gets that 0.3 because everything else was just like I can't give it. I can't give it to the storytelling at all. I can't give it for like any of the character writing at all because they weren't true to their characters. Like the only one was like Ulysses S. Grant when he was sitting in the car and he was
which
like,
"He didn't even
I
do
like,
anything."
He's like, he tips his hat. I like violence, and then like rides away in his armored carriage. It's like. No.
Why?
Yeah, so
why?
I'm giving it a 0.3, and it's getting points only for the art. That's it.
Man,
mine was not that harsh. I was going to say like a 2 because of the art alone. Yeah. But all the points that Wes made are the ones I agree with.
So I'm gonna have 2. Right, I'm going to rate 2 things. If I was a sane, conscious person, I would give this 2.
Okay.
Well, like it's watchable. I've seen so much worse that like now I'm like
true.
Totally desensitized to it. If I were lobotomized, this would be a 6. because it's so pretty.
Okay, so if you're looking at it, you're like, if you were one of the zombies, you would give it a 2.
Exactly. If I was a zombie, it's so beautiful. I get you.
Yeah, and you know what? If you said those words as a zombie, the main character would have freaked out, like, "Oh my god, he's got a soul again!"
Yeah. And I would be the little Shota boy, because that's what I've always wanted to be. And that's how we're going to end today's episode, apparently.
Max is a little Shota boy. Yeah. Alright, somebody needs to Photoshop that. Please.
Please,
yes,
don't. Please. Please don't.
No one
needs to see that in the world.
Needs to happen.
Yeah, alright. It's time for plugs. Anything you want to plug, Wes?
I'm Wes the editor at everything. Instagram, Twitter, all of the fun things, YouTube. Yeah. You name it, I'm Wes the editor at it. So if you want to check out my stuff, by all means.
Yeah, and you can find me everywhere on the internet at Yuma Ninja. And next week I will not be here, and neither will I am Joey Bunny. I have like a maze room to do.
Yeah, but I will still be here at Super Attack U, Super Attack with a U at the end.
Yeah, what's next week's episode?
We have not picked that out yet because I believe it's Jonathan's turn, and he'll be returning next week also. So yeah, we should have a pretty good
bro down time.
So yeah, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks guys.
You should totally still watch this movie if you thought our explanation was full of lulz. So have fun. See you next week.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.